Mike wanted me to be sure and announce, and I did forget, that we will have a PM service tonight. We'll have it right here. It's going to be the same Sundays of the month, second and fourth Sunday of the month. The third Sunday will be at the Landings. The only thing that was kind of bringing that into question was the air. We're still having a problem with the air conditioning. Thank you, Ian, that we're cool this morning. We're going to have to make some big decisions on our air conditioning system, so pray for us with that. But we should be cool enough tonight. And I want to invite you to gather, and I just want to tease you a little bit. I often say that Reformed theology is what everybody is looking for. They just don't know it. You hear me say that you need to embrace the doctrine of election for your spiritual health. I'm going to begin a series tonight on the doctrines of grace with my message. And whenever I'm preaching on Sunday evenings, I'm going to be talking about the doctrines of grace, the doctrine of election, Reformed theology as it relates to salvation. If you have questions about that, it'd be a good time to come. We'll allow for a question and answer on that as we do these things, and just try to make it a good time to let you know, where those things come from, Bible. You know, things like that. But we're going to talk about Reformed theology. We're going to talk about the doctrine of salvation. We're going to talk about what people sometimes you'll hear it identified as Calvinism, things like that. Did you? Oh, yeah, 7 to 12. No, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock right here. Tonight we will do that. So live stream, if you can make it, come in tonight at 7. If all of you can make it, make sacrifices to be here. We will meet for an evening worship service tonight at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Okay, where am I at? Let's move forward. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Look, that's habit. Don't turn to Romans chapter 6. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. It relates to Romans chapter 6, and what I'm trying to do is just give you one more Sunday of from the teachings of the Apostle Paul, which we know is the Word of God, give you one more Sunday of infusion of what it means that you're in union with Christ. An infusion of what is your identity in Christ. An infusion. You have to know who you are in Christ if you're going to live for Christ. Legalism is not living for Christ. Walking in my own strength is not living for Christ. Thinking I'm working my way towards God loving me is not living for Christ. We have to know who we are. And so I want us to go to Colossians 2 this morning and just get another dose of that. But I'm going to read, I know they probably have slides for less than this, but I'm going to start in verse 6 and read down through verse 10 and then pray, and then we'll move forward. But Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And that's what was attempted to be happening in Colossae. False gospel, false theology was coming in and trying to displace the gospel and true theology. So that's what Paul is attacking here. He said, these are what we're going to look at, just a few words of these two verses. For in Him, Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Thus far God's Word. Let's pray together. Lord, have mercy on us as we look to You, as we look to Your Word, as we come before You and pray that You would work in us through Your Word, that You would strengthen us, that You would set our feet on the rock, which is Christ, that Your blessing, peace, power, and grace would be upon us today. So empower me to preach Your Word. Empower me by Your Spirit. Guide me, lead me. Work in me and through me as I preach your word and empower us by your Spirit to hear your word, to really hear it, to hear it out of love for it, to hear it out of a desire to understand it, to hear it out of a desire to love you and to walk in the light that you've given us in your word. What it means to truly follow Christ, knowing who we are, and then growing and walking faithfully with you. So bless us this morning. Bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. Fortify the faith of your saints. Convert those who do not know you. Plant seeds of the gospel. Do what you know needs to be done in every heart. Humble the proud. Strengthen the weak. Clarify the confused. Oh, just work in us. Work in us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your worship. We thank you for being able to be here and worship you. And we pray for your blessing on the word preached. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We know that's at Christ's baptism when the voice of the Father comes from the heavens, the Spirit descends. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I ask you a question. What do those words have to do with you? What do those words have to do with you? And when I say you, I mean you who believe in Christ, you who are trusting Christ, you who are children of God, who are Christians. What do those words have to do with you? And I want to answer my own question. Everything. They have everything to do with you. These are the Father's words over you if you are in Christ. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. Not well pleased because we are good, but well pleased because Christ is good and we are in Him, in union with Him. See, I want to put before you this morning, identity theft is not a new idea. Identity theft is not something that is brand new that takes place via the web where hackers try to steal our identity. It is a real thing and it's something we need to watch out for, and maybe you need LifeLock or something like that to protect your identity in the internet space. But it's not a new problem. And I'm going to tell you, the world, the flesh, and the devil try every day to steal your identity in Christ. Your true identity. And you notice I said in Christ. That's Paul's shorthand for union with Christ. Who you are because of union with Christ is what you need to know, walk in, so that you can live in that reality and truly follow after Jesus. Union with Christ is a precious doctrine, but it's a vital doctrine. And sadly, a lot of people have never been taught anything about it. John Murray said this, "Union with Christ is really the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation." Sounds kind of important, right? Charles Spurgeon, now watch this. Spurgeon says, "There is no joy in this world like union with Christ. The more we can feel it," in other words, the more we get it, the more we understand it, the more we live in the light of this truth, the more we can feel it, the happier we are. The less we feel it, understand it, get it, therefore, the less truly happy. We're forfeiting our happiness when we're not following Christ by digging in His Word to have our minds transformed so that we think the way we're supposed to think and therefore live the way we're supposed to live. I'll tell you this before, I'll tell you again. The battle is for your mind. Strongholds that the enemy builds are in your mind. He wants to get us to think outside in so that we'll just do so we can be. But we have to think rightly so we can be. All the benefits of redemption flow through the union with Christ to us. And without union, there is no salvation. But with union, one of the things that is true, Romans 8:1, and we'll get there in our study of Romans. There is now, therefore, not much condemnation for those who are in Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are, watch the language, for those who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ Jesus. The Spirit has worked faith in us so that we've been united to Christ. Remember the bucket illustration? We go in sinful, united, cleansed, filled. He's full, we're filled with the Spirit, united never to be ununited. You can't be united one day and ununited the next. There's no way to lose your union with Christ. Therefore, your salvation. If you ever had it, you will have it all the way to glorification. Those who turn from it show they never had it. Don't believe these people online and on web and on all the social media who are telling, yeah, I was once a Christian, but I grew out of that. There's some sad stories. John Piper's own son and others. They went out from us because they were not of us. Today I want to take a brief look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Again, Paul is setting the Colossians' feet on the rock. He's telling them who they are in Christ. He's telling them what the gospel is and has done in their life before he gets to the commands in the second part. And that's his pattern. It's in Romans. It's in Ephesians. It's in a lot of the epistles. You get gospel and identity first before you ever get imperatives or commands. And I'm drilling into part of our identity this morning, and I don't have time to go very far into it. Just know that false religion was encroaching in Colossae, that Paul is addressing that false religion with the truth of the gospel, rooting the people in who they are in Christ so that they would then see the falsity of what's being promoted and faithfully follow Christ. But I'm taking a brief look at these two verses, and I want you to know that you are complete in Him. But you are not incomplete. There's not something you're missing. If you are a Christian, if you're trusting Christ, you have all of Christ. And if you have all of Christ, you have all of grace. And if you have all of grace, you have all of salvation. You either have Christ or you don't. But if you have Christ, you have all of the Spirit. Now we have a responsibility to walk under the control and in the power of the Spirit, right? But there's no half Christians. We're no second tier citizens. There's no tiered system. You are complete in Him. So my main point is for you to set the foundation for growth in grace by knowing that Christ is fullness and you are fullness in Him. Christ is fullness. You are united to Him. You are in Him. You are hidden in Him. Therefore, as Martin Luther was trying to teach us this morning, that everything that's true of Him as our mediator, as the second Adam, as our representative, is true of us. We don't become God, certainly, but we become righteous, empowered, sanctified, new creation, new creatures, today complete in Him. Look at verse 9 again in chapter 2. And I would encourage you, it'll probably take you 10 minutes to read the whole book of Colossians, maybe 15. Let that be part of your day to go back and read Colossians today and set this in more context than I have. But this section that this verse falls in is telling the people that we are alive in Christ, who we are in Christ. And the gospel is the antidote for the false religion that surrounded the Colossians and that surrounds us. And he's told us to see to it that no one takes us captive. I'm just going to shorthand it with anti-gospel, which is anti-Christ. And then he's going to tell us why. Now look in verse 9. For, I want to keep emphasizing these things so that they stick out to you when you read your Bible. Because Paul is going to use shorthand right here. For in him, stop. Whenever you see in him, underline it. Put it, do something. That's shorthand for union with Christ. You being in him. And this is what is in him of who he is. Look what he says in verse 9. In him, in Christ, most of the fullness of deity dwells bodily. The whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Christ is not just some emanation from the true God. He's not a lesser God. He's not an archangel. He's not anything other than God, very God. One person, two natures forever, and one of those natures is truly God, is fully God. And you need to know this. You need to hear this. Fully God, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. Fullness of deity incarnate forever. Notice it's a present tense. In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Our mediator, Savior, covenant head, the second Adam. Remember the contrast in Romans we went through. He is the God-man, truly God, truly man, one person. And look at that word, fullness. It's an important word to notice. For in him, the whole fullness of deity. It means filled up, complete, divine fullness in Christ. God the Son, second person of the Trinity. There's no lack in him. He's God in the flesh. Remember how John put it. If you go read the Gospel of John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't let the Jehovah's Witnesses and others take that away from you. That is a faithful translation. Fullness of God. Not some other lesser being. The Word was God. And then you skip down to verse 14 in chapter 1 of John, and what does it say? And the Word tabernacled among us. That word for dwell, tabernacle. That'll give you a picture for all that in the Old Testament. He's fulfilling that. And we beheld His glory. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We'll see that in a minute. What do you mean? He's fully able to save. He, as God, He qualifies to represent us. I mean, as God, He's fully able to save us. And as man, He qualifies to represent us. Listen, Jesus had to be God. Less than fully God could not drink that cup of wrath dry and say on that cross before He left it, "It is finished." The infinite wrath due us, hell if you want to put it that way, He took on the cross and He drank that cup dry because He was God, fullness of God. One of the ways that the devil will try to steal your identity in Christ is to diminish Christ. You could be a Mormon and he's Lucifer's brother. A Jehovah's Witness, Michael the Archangel. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, yes, he's God. He's mighty God, but he's not almighty God. And they're so wrong. So wrong. Fullness of God. So he was able to accomplish our redemption and drink that wrath dry. For Jesus took our hell upon himself on the cross. Physical suffering was horrible, but the spiritual suffering he went through dimmed the lights of the universe while it was happening. And then he had to be a man to represent us. We needed a second Adam, for the first Adam had blown it, and we were in him, fallen, inheriting guilt and corruption, needing a Savior. We need a second Adam to come and save us, and that is Christ. So he's God, he is man, he came to save us. He became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full. Look at that. Fullness of God who is full of wrath for you. As if you don't know him. Right? But look at, do you think of Jesus this way? Full. Full of grace and truth. Is that how you think of your Savior? The better you get the gospel, the more you will think of him that way. Not with a harsh scowl when he looks at you, but with open arms. Welcoming, lived for you, died for you, was raised for you, reigning for you, coming for you. He's full of grace and truth. He meets our need. There's no lack in him. And come invest in our study of the doctrines of grace. Look what 1 Corinthians 1:30, and this is just one of them. And because of him, not because of you, and because of him, the Father, you are in Christ Jesus, the Son. Because the Spirit has applied the gospel to you. Who became for us, look at this, Jesus, fullness, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything we need, the fullness is in Christ. Christ, full of grace, Savior, our wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him, the Scripture says. So many ways in which you can demonstrate fullness in Christ. But he became, notice, to us. Who's us? Those who are in him by the work of the Father, sending the Spirit. We'll talk more. He became wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, Jesus is everything we need. Everything we don't know about we need that we need, and everything we know about we need that we need. That's him. Everything you want, really want, when thinking rightly, it's found in him. Everything we pursue, when we pursue the things of the world and look for happiness there and find it falling flat and short, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Look above the sun. Everything you need, everything you want, everything needed, necessary for us to be reconciled to God and have full lives of joy in the midst of difficulty and know that we're going to be with him forever and the new heavens and the new earth. I'm going to ask you this morning before I move on, do you know this Jesus? Are you trusting this Jesus, the one revealed in the Bible, the one revealed in the Gospels, the epistles, in the whole Word of God? Are you trusting in him and him alone for salvation? If you are, it's because God is at work in you. And if you're trusting in him, just know he is fullness. His salvation is full and free. It's not partial and something we have to earn. It's a work of his grace. It's a gift of his grace. It's an act of his grace. Christ, as Scripture says, he was born and lived under his own law, fulfilling all righteousness for the glory of the Father and for his people, we saw. And then he went to that cross and died and paid the penalty for our sin, taking our hell upon himself. And then he went into the grave. But he rose the third day. And he ascended into heaven. And he's reigning now, and he's coming again someday. And if you're in him, all of that I just said is true of you. And we'll see it in baptism. We died with him, union with him. We're buried with him. raised with him to newness of life. Now, better than, it keeps going. We've ascended with, we're seated in the heavenly places. Read Ephesians 2. I'm not making this stuff up. He's coming again for, and when he comes back, we will be glorified. We'll be like him, with him in glory. Christ is fullness, and he's everything we need. And this gospel comes to you. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and raised the third day. And this is the gospel that you must hear and respond to in repentance and faith. Turn from going your own way and thinking your own thoughts to him and think his thoughts. Therefore, turn to his Son and receive Jesus as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you too will be saved, and for you too, he will be fullness. Second part, verse 10. Look what he said in verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And Paul's connecting some words here. He's using them on purpose. That's the ESV is good here because it's letting us see that. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled. What does that mean? You have been brought to fullness. In other words, title of the sermon, you are complete in him. If you want to read a great book, that is the title of, Michael Barrett wrote a book entitled Complete in Him. Very important to me in my life at one point. I would encourage you to read that because you'll go into far more detail than I can go into this morning. But notice this word, you are filled. That's a form of the same word in verse 9, fullness. Since Christ is fullness, you have been filled in him. How did that happen? Well, he's talking to people in Colossae who had come to faith. The Spirit works faith in us and therefore unites us to Christ in our effectual calling. Baptizes us into Christ. Hidden, we have died, Paul says in Colossians, and we are hidden in him. So that everything is true of him is true of us. See, it's not that you become God, but that you are filled with everything necessary for life and salvation in him. Since he is fullness and God, by God's grace, he's brought you to faith in him. Now you have been filled in him. Notice that perfect there. This has happened in the past with continuing results there. You have been filled. You have been made complete. You are complete. Participle with that, but with that sense. Because you're in fullness, you're full. Do you see yourself as complete? As a new creation? The NIV puts it this way, you've been brought to fullness. The New King James Version, you are complete. The NAS, you have been made complete. Literally, you have been filled up with his fullness in Christ. Fullness for justification. That we come to faith. We come to faith. We're united to Christ, hidden in him. We're cleansed from all of our sin and declared righteous before the judgment bar of God. Accepted, adopted, made children, so many things going on there. But you all also have fullness for sanctification. The power of sin over you has been broken. That's what it means when Paul's talking in Romans 6, when we're free from sin. We're free from the reign of sin. Sin's not our boss anymore. We don't have to. We can't say with Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Or sin made me do it, or I just can't help it. If you're a believer in Christ, don't you ever say that. And don't make excuses of addiction. I'm not saying people don't ever get wrapped up in sin, but I'm just saying we won't get out until we adopt who we are in Christ. Everything necessary for life and godliness. Fullness for justification, fullness for sanctification, fullness to be saved and to grow in grace, however I need to put that. In him, because he is full, he is complete. In him, you are complete, lacking nothing. Adopted into God's family, seated in the heavenly places, all of that language. John 1:16, following up on 14 and 15, says this, "For from His fullness, Christ, we have all received grace upon grace." See, the false teachers in Colossae were giving the people the idea that they had to work toward this fullness that they needed. That they had to achieve it through all the jumping through all of these hoops that they would lay out. And Paul is saying, it's absolutely backwards. You don't work towards fullness, you work from fullness. You don't work towards life, you work from life. You don't work towards acceptance, you work from acceptance. You live out of the reality that you've been forgiven and cleansed from all your sin. You've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're a child of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who has the Word of God and therefore everything necessary for life and godliness. He's working in you to will and do according to His good pleasure. And you walk that out by the power of the Spirit. See, it's a work of His grace. You don't work towards fullness. You have fullness the moment you are converted. The moment you trust in Christ by God's grace, you are united to Him. Therefore, you are in Him. And everything that's true of those who are in Him is true of you. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. Don't look to your feelings. Don't look to your experience. Don't look to your performance to see if this is true. Look at the Word of God. You've let the world, the flesh, and the devil steal your identity. To the extent that you don't believe, you're complete in Him. Listen, you're either a child of God or you're not. He doesn't have any half children. And if you are a child of God, you are complete in Him. You are a new creation. Yes, you still struggle with the remnants of remaining sin. We're going to talk more about that as we get into Romans 6 more. But look at verse 10 again. To show it to you again. Happens again in verse 10, same as it did in verse 9. And you have been filled, there's the shorthand again, in Him. You are complete in Him. Show me the slide if you have it. If you're a Christian, that's true of you. And see, our struggle is to own that. Our struggle is to remember that. Our struggle is to live in light of that. Because we wake up every morning defaulting to legalism. I got to be good and do good so He'll bless me. Take that legalist and shake it when you wake up with it and point it to the gospel and point it to Christ. No, I'm a child of God. I'm complete in Him. I have everything necessary for life and godliness. I'm a new creation. Sin no longer reigns over me. Remember the story of Martin Luther when the devil was accusing him of all of his sin. And after the devil was finished, he said, "You forgot a few. Now write over all of them, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And go back to hell where you came from and through inkwell." The devil is crafty. The world, the flesh, and the devil are crafty. They want you to forget who you are. Yeah, your own flesh wants you to forget who you are, to live for it. The world wants you to live for it. The devil wants you to live for him. That's easy to see when you read the Word. And it's all armored against you that you might forget who you are in Christ. And therefore not live in Him. But you are complete in Him. You are filled in Him who is fullness. You have been immersed into Him who is fullness. And you are hidden in Him who is fullness. You are in His hand and in the Father's hand. And none can snatch you from there. You're cleansed. You're clothed. You're forgiven. You're righteous before the judgment bar of God. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are renewed. Sin's reign over you is broken. You are now you can live for God and grow in it. You are a new creation who has every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 1:3. And it's not from you, but it's from and in Him. You must understand your union with Christ. Let me give you a few more things about it. I'm almost done. Louis Burkhoff, quote here. He defines union with Christ as that intimate, vital, and spiritual union between Christ and His people, in virtue of which He is the source of their life, strength, of their blessedness, and salvation. And he uses three words for union. There's a lot more words we could use for union, but we're just giving summary this morning. I hope you will dig into this and grasp this better. But look at what he says there. When he's talking about union, he defines it as that intimate first word. It's an intimate union. You heard it in the quote by Martin Luther when he talked about marriage, right? And becoming one with. See, it's being intimate union with Christ is to be one with Christ. Us in Him and Him in us by His Spirit. And that intimate relationship is pictured by the one flesh union of man and woman in marriage. It's pictured by true marriage. That's the only true marriage, is marriage as God defines it. One man, one woman, united by God in holy matrimony. You can call other things marriage if you want to. The state can rule whatever it wants to. God has defined marriage, and He did it jack out of the box before the fall. Go read Genesis 2. Go read Genesis 2. Our marriage relationship should picture that intimacy, that intimate union. The most intimate part of our marriage relationship. I'm not going any farther, parents. This union, this intimacy is far deeper and greater than that. Marriage pictures it. That's why Paul in Ephesians and other places uses that as a pattern. Husbands are to treat their wives the way Christ treats His bride, the church, and wives are to respond to their husbands the way the church is to respond to Christ. And that intimate, loving, grace-filled union. Husbands, do you treat your wife the way Christ treats you? If you don't, shame on you. Now, I know we don't do it perfectly, but don't make excuses. Grow in it. Be that servant leader in your house that He is. You're not a pit boss in your house. Don't be barking out orders in your house. That's not Christ-like headship. Wives, are you loving your husband the way the church is to love Christ and respecting? It's not a marriage ceremony, so I'll move on. But this intimate union is pictured by Christ. Real marriage between a man and a woman pictures the intimacy between Christ and His church. That made one. Vital union, number two, he said. That's Christ indwelling is the very life of the believer. We're in Him and He's in us by His Spirit. Christ indwells us. God in you. Think about that. Fullness is in you. Remember the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, and in the heart of it was the manifestation of the presence of God, picturing Him dwelling in His true temple, which is, yes, Christ and us in Christ, so that God dwells in us by His Spirit and gives us life. Therefore, it's a vital union and it's a spiritual union because of the activity and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to add, it's an eternal union. It's a union that was begun in the past, in eternity past. Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and it's a union that persists into eternity future. We were in a federal union with Christ before the foundation of the world. Historical union as He comes to fulfill all righteousness and die for our sin. Actual union as we come to faith in Him. However, there's different ways to say that. But it's an eternal union. God doesn't start something He doesn't finish. His salvation is complete. It's a permanent union rooted in election, which will receive its final consummation and glorification. Therefore, He is the source of all our life, strength, blessedness, and salvation. In other words, what Burkhoff is saying in his quote is, we're complete in Him. He's got us. All we need and more is found in Christ. All we need to walk with joy through the trials of this life. And I know some of you are going some very deep waters right now. And some of us aren't handling those deep waters very well. Sometimes some of us don't look like Christians as we're going through these deep waters. There's grace for that, but we need to grow in that. And this is how, we begin by knowing who Christ is for us and who we are in Him. Therefore, we can entrust everything of ourselves and of our to Him. If we are united to Christ, then we are united with Him at all points of His life and activity on our behalf. Remember, this is summary. I'm about done. We were baptized into His death, so we share in His death. We were resurrected with Him, so we share in His resurrection. We've ascended with Him, so we share in His ascension. We share in His session now. We're seated with Him in the heavenly places, and we share in His promised return. And when He comes back, we will be with Him and like Him in glory. Notice, not one command. He is fullness, and in Him you are fullness. As Kevin DeYoung says, now be what you are. Live out of this reality. This is the foundation for your growth in grace. So two quick points of application. Know who you are in Christ. This is not something you can pass over. This is absolutely necessary. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil steal your identity. Well, how do I do this? Good. You listen to what I'm preaching to you. You believe what the Word of God says. And listen, look at me. You stay in the Word every day so that your mind is transformed and renewed by God's Word. That's how you hold on to your true identity. That's how you have soul lock instead of life lock, is you stay in the Word, right? And the Spirit is applying that Word to you. So husbands, you're nice and loving to your wives, and wives, same thing, and respect, and on down the road we can go. Stay in the Word and in prayer. We have counselors in the room. They'll tell you. It's amazing how many times people come to you struggling and you say, tell me about your time with the Lord, and look at you like you're Medusa. You got snakes coming out of your head. Tell me about your time in the Word. Tell me about your communion with Christ. Tell me about your prayer life. Well, and that's when you start getting, well, I'm not really doing that. Counseling session over. Go to the Word so you know who you are in Christ and you can live in that reality. We want everything to be hunky-dory all the time, or we think something's wrong. In this world, you will have trouble. How do I soul lock? How do I stay in touch with my identity? Well, I stay in the Word with Christ in the center. I stay in prayer. I stay in worship. This is the most important thing we do every week. If you're sitting at home because it's easier, you need to get in church. I pointed at the live stream people. They'll know who I'm talking to. If you need to be there and you need to use that, we're glad we've got it. But it's nothing like being in corporate worship. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. And here, we've pietized. We make quiet time sound like some kind of religion. But somehow, some way, you need to be reminding yourself every day who you are in Christ, who He is for you. He's fullness, I'm fullness in Him. And the Spirit works through the Word, so you need to be in that Word every day so that you can remind yourself, first thing, jack out of the box, of the gospel, of your union with Christ, of your identity in Him, of your fullness and completeness in Him. John Fesco puts it this way. I opened with baptism, and this kind of points us there. He says, when Christ, was baptized in the Jordan River, which was a baptism of repentance, he was not confessing personal sin as he was the spotless lamb. He was sinless. Rather, as his people's representative, he was acting in their behalf. Consequently, not only in his baptism, but in his fulfillment of every jot and tittle of the law, in his perfect suffering, resurrection, and ascension, everything that Christ did was in behalf of his bride, his people, you if you're trusting him. Christ's perfect law keeping and suffering become ours through faith. They are imputed or accredited to us as we are united to Christ and hidden in him. So be reviewing this. Be reviewing Romans 6. You know, one of the best exercises you can ever do is get you a piece of paper and write identity in Christ on the top of it and search the scriptures about everything that it says to you about you, who you are in Christ. And then crochet that thing or something or whatever you need to do and put it on the wall so you can see it. In Christ, I am forgiven for all my sin. In Christ, I am clothed in the perfect righteousness in Christ. I am empowered by the Spirit. I have the Word of God. I am a new creation. I am complete in Him. Even if that's all you crochet, and let it make remember all of this. Whatever ways you need to do it, be in the Word, reading, studying, owning who you are. You know, I've had people tell me before, Bible reading is just not my thing. Well, maybe the gospel is not your thing. Because this is the means of growth. Christ said, sanctify them by your truth. And the cool thing is, if God is saving you, He'll put in your heart a desire for this Word. And the outflow of that, normally speaking, not when you're in the tank, you'll have a desire for it and be in it. But don't wait till you have a desire for it to be in it. We're so feelings-oriented. I'm not a reader. Yes, you are. How much time you spend on Twitter and Facebook and Flitter and whatever else is out there. You are a reader. You might need to strengthen that. I can't memorize stuff. Stop it. You're complete in Him. He says, hide His Word in your heart. He'll empower you to do it. Stop making excuses. I know I'm speaking to myself as much as I am to you. But be in Romans 6. Be in Colossians. Be in Ephesians. Be knowing who you are in Christ. We must know who we are in order to be who He calls us to be. Number two, be who you are in Christ. So you know who you are, so you can grow in being who you are. That life of repentance that we talked about in Romans. You are God's beloved son or daughter with whom He is well pleased if you're trusting in Christ Jesus. You're accepted in the Beloved. You are justified on the basis of Jesus. The judgment has passed on to Him as far as being judged for acceptance or rejection, condemnation, you know, that kind of thing. We will get rewards or not for our works. But know who you are in Christ so you can grow in being who you are. John Fesco again says this, we must realize that we must not live for life but from it. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Last week, I'll point you back to those sermons. Christians have the great assurance that when we are united to Christ by faith, we receive the whole Christ and all of the benefits of redemption, not just some of them. What is he saying? You are complete in Him. If you're in Him, you're complete in Him. Now be who you are. Put remaining sin to death. And we'll move forward with that as we continue our study in Romans 6. But again, I just close by saying this. Let these truths of your identity in Christ, the fact that you are complete in Him, let these be your life lock or your soul lock or your protection against the things that come at you every day trying to steal your identity, trying to make you doubt it, trying to get you to look at your experience and say, I don't know. Well, God knows. And praise God, He's given it to us that we might know that we're complete in Him. If you're in Christ, you're complete. Listen, here's you a gauge for knowing if you're getting this or not. I gave it to you right off the bat. You'll know you're getting it when you read this verse and remember. Yes, the Father is speaking of the Son and all in the Son when He says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. When you read that and you see yourself in it because you're in Christ, you're starting to get it. If you are a Christian, you are beloved. You are accepted. You are adopted. You are cleansed. You are clothed. You are a son or a daughter of God in Christ. And therefore, in Christ, you are complete in Him. To live is Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you called us to walk by faith and not by sight, and we get up every morning trying to walk by sight. Deliver us from that. Help us to believe you and believe your truth and to believe who we are in Christ and to walk on that basis in full dependence upon you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that in Christ we are your beloved sons and daughters, that we don't look work for life, but from it. We don't look work for acceptance, but out of it. Amazing grace. Lord, I pray for those who struggle with assurance, that you, they're in some sense struggling with assurance because they're looking to themselves to see if they're good enough. Turn those inward eyes outward to Christ and to rest in your grace and your Son. Those of us who are proud, may we be humbled by your grace. But Lord, help us all to grow in owning and holding on to and dwelling in and therefore living from our identity in Christ, believing that since Christ is fullness and we are in Him, we are fullness or completeness in Him. So save those that don't know you. Grow those of us who do. Bless us that we might walk forward with you by faith and not by sight, living in the reality of who we are. In Jesus' holy name, amen.